This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. PopX is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm, Walt Disney Pictures, Marvel Entertainment, DC Comics, or any other mentioned franchise or brand. The opinions expressed are of each individual and solely do not reflect PopX Cast. Sit back, relax, put on your Ninja Turtle onesie, and warm up your chimichangas. This is PopX Cast. You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, and we would like to say hello, and what's up, Austin? What's going on, man?
What's up, Joe? It's a good week, man. Good time to be on the podcast.
It's a good time to be here, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. So, wow, we have had so much craziness going on in the past week since we've last broadcast, and of course, I live in the most craziest city of them all right now, Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. Where we would just like to take a moment right now and just send up our thoughts and prayers to everyone affected and involved with the tragedy that happened in downtown Orlando over in the wee hours of today. We're actually recording it on the same day this happened. And we want to take this time and just pause and say we are praying for you and Godspeed. Orlando, the city beautiful. So anyway, hey guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke, and Central Florida's very seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast.
I am Austin Burke, your residential Appalachian geek at heart. We would like to thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. If you missed last week's episode 18, where we talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Out of the Shadows. Mm-hmm. Be sure to head over now to Google Play or iTunes and click that subscribe button to catch up. While you're there, leave us a glowing and wonderful 5-star rating and review. We certainly appreciate that. Joe, what is up, man?
Oh, dude. You know what? And I just want to say, man, those people that's been leaving the 5 stars over on iTunes, you guys are rock stars. Thank you so much for taking the time to just to be able to just write that down and write a little something nice about us. You guys are rock stars, so we got some really cool things coming your way, and we're going to release one of them this week. We have access to a brand new domain name, Austin. It is popx.live. Ooh.
Nice.
Let's say.
Nice.
Ooh. Ah. Ooh, yeah. Yes, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
But so popx.live, what happens when you type it in on your URL? You will go to actually our streaming live page over on popxcast.com. It's a short link. And there you will see our streaming live YouTube feed. You'll see a really cool chat room, which is actually active right now as we speak. We want to give a shout out to our good friend SP Stargate Pioneer, who's hanging out. Lindsay Badger's also holding down the fort over there in the chat room. I'm over there tapping away. Be sure to check it out. We have our own little chat room. It's kind of cool. So you can leave us comments and stuff like that in real time. But popx.live, what do you think, Austin? Is that pretty cool or what?
That's pretty cool. We have our own little, this is our little hangout. So anybody who wants to come in here, hang out, ask questions, just chat with us because we'd love to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's been a crazy week in terms of news. And we're talking, obviously, about comic book nerdy stuff that is just you ready to get your geek on. Right off the top of the bat, Alex and I, last night, we went and saw The Conjuring Part 2. Okay, now this movie, it broke down so many barriers of the traditional horror film. And, you know, Austin, when you go and see a horror film, you're a big film enthusiast, so you will understand this more than anybody. When you go and see a horror flick, okay, and it's always that one person who is affected and only they can see what's going on or they can see the paranormal. This movie broke that wall down and shattered it. Everybody in the house saw it. Even the police saw what was going on. And so it was just like a movie that literally shattered the fourth wall of the paranormal. And it was amazing. And the right up until the ending, you were just like, you were holding your breath because you didn't know what was going to happen. And if I was going to be, I didn't actually write a spoiler-free review for this movie, or I didn't do a official review, but if I was reviewing this horror film, I would have to give it a solid 8 just because of the storyline and the progression of the story. It was really awesome. Did you get a chance to see it, Austin?
Dude, that is exactly the same score that I gave it, solid 8 out of 10. The Conjuring, the original Conjuring is one of my favorite movies, not just horror movies, all time. Absolutely. I gave it a 10 out of 10, okay? Because everything that it did for the horror genre was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And very rarely do you get a sequel that not only captures what the original had, but it does things that are different than the original. And that's what I thought this movie did. It went a different route, okay? But it kept the same flavor as the original. I mean, of course, it had its, you know, fair share of problems and stuff, but this is the best horror film I've seen in a long time.
It was really well done. What did you think about the fourth wall breaks with the paranormal? What did you think about all that? How they done it?
Dude, it was just the execution of not only that, but, you know, script wise and the acting was all so solid. The little girl, man. Props to that little girl. She is going places because to pull off, and this is not a spoiler, to pull off a different, like an older man, a 75-year-old demon inside
persona,
of you. And
Yeah,
I mean, she was a completely different person, and props to her, props to the cast. It's just a good film, and I would recommend anybody listening to this podcast right now, please, I know it's not a comic book movie, go watch this film. Yeah. It is worth every
It is
day.
Worth, and you know what, I have to say this for the record, while we're on The Conjuring, you and I did not collaborate on the review of this. This is the first time that you and I have said our actual review number, and you said 8 and I said 8. That is crazy pants.
8. And I didn't even know you guys went and watched it. But 8 out of 10. I mean, it's for sure worth watching.
Definitely go check it out.
You know what else is worth watching, Joe?
What's that, man?
Voltron is now streaming on Netflix, and we've got the first episode. All we can say here at PopX Cast is wow. You guys should definitely check out this series on Netflix. What'd you think about it, Joe?
It's so true because I actually hit dropped on Friday. And I was able to catch episode 1 of season 1 of Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say, oh my God, the animation, the storyline, it's not your typical, child's cartoon. It's intense. It's very beautifully done. And it's something that only you would expect to see from DreamWorks. And they did a phenomenal job in bringing that franchise, that brand, those characters, and Voltron himself into 2016. I think they did a very successful job with it. And real quick, we want to say hello to Q over in the chat, Stargate Pioneer, of course. And then we got Steve and Jay hanging out with us. It's so good to see you guys hanging out with us here.
Nice.
But another one that we want to talk about is DC, the Rebirth Saga. Okay? Now, if you've not read DC Rebirth yet.
Major spoilers.
Oh, God.
Major.
You might want to fast forward the next 3 minutes of the podcast. Okay. So we're going to actually throw out a spoiler review. And we're going to count it down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Point of no return. At the end of Rebirth, you get ready for it. I have it right here. Yes, that is Batman, Bruce Wayne, holding the Watchman, the comedian's pen, and it is...
It's so beautiful.
So what does this mean? This is the first time Alan Moore's The Watchman have come in to the saga of DC, and they have tied in the New 52 with the old traditional DC character storylines. They've explained Superman's death, his rebirth. And so there is so much going on in this saga, and I've actually been very lucky to get all the issues of the DC Rebirth. Now, if you're collecting that, this is issue number 1. You want to get this one because it tells your base story. This is DC Rebirth number 1. You want to get that one. To tell you more about it. Let's see here. We got... All right. Bear with me as we have... All right. So we have Arrow number 1. Okay, you got to get that one. We have Green Lantern, number one.
Nice.
We have Flash, number one.
Love me some Flash. Love some Flash.
All right. We got Batman, number one. And we have Wonder Woman, number one.
Mm.
And we've got Superman, number one. And last but not least, Aquaman, number one. And so each comic book.
Oh, you got all of them.
Heck yeah, I do, man. And awesome. So each comic book tells a different angle of the story. It tells a different perspective. And in order to get the full story and the full dynamic, you have to get all the comics. So it's really interesting to read that and see that the Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan, I mean, what's happening here? What's going to go on? We don't know. But definitely check it out.
The fact that they crossed over, okay, DC's greatest with, you know, the Watchmen, and I love the Watchmen comic books. Yeah. I love the Watchmen comic books. And I love the Watchmen movie. These two groups of heroes are in, they're in the same universe now, Joe.
Yeah,
how exciting is that? Not just for DC fans,
see,
but for
DC
comic
has
book fans.
DC has tried multiple times to cross-pollinate the Watchmen with the DCU. Mm-hmm. And so now, finally, for the first time, I know that DC's probably got some big plans for the Watchmen crossover, and this is all going to be some big crazy dynamic story arc that's going to be probably maybe even escalate into the cinematic universe as well. We don't know where it's going to go. But yes, that's DC's Rebirth. All the books are on the shelves right now for this month. Go pick them up. Get your copy of DC Rebirth number one and catch up on it, okay?
DC's, you know, they've had a pretty good week because they also just released the Injustice 2 video game trailer, and the game has been announced for 2017. Joe, did you get a chance to watch this trailer?
Of course I watched this trailer, and I have Injustice Part 1 on the PlayStation 4, which is a beautiful game. I play it quite often, as I can, and just seeing the graphics and just what the PlayStation 4 platform has to bring for a game like this, I was amazed. I was like, oh my gosh, that is downright beautiful. They've kind of added a kind of a power up to the fighting dynamic, which is almost like a Tron style, where the players will glow in almost like a Tron fashion. And when their power ups are enabled, that's when they give certain abilities and stuff are unlocked, which is amazing. So I'm really optimistic about it. Of course, I'm going to drop the money. I'm going to probably get the pre order, so I can get a couple of the perks and some of the digital downloads. But I'm really excited for what Warner Brothers is doing, not only just with DC Rebirth, but with Injustice as well. Also, this comes right out of the gate too, and we heard this week, and this is kind of a crazy nugget just to come out of left field. Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees is going to be getting a reboot. You heard me correctly when I said a reboot. And they're going to be focusing on Jason Voorhees' father, and he has been alluded many times in the movies, but he's never actually been brought, nor has his storyline and his tie-in with Jason and Jason's mother. So if you're a horror movie fan, much like myself, you probably will appreciate this just a little bit because I'm a huge Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, Chainsaw Massacre type guy. So I enjoy that genre, the horror slasher film. But what are your thoughts on that, Austin, about Jason?
Hollywood is consistently rebooting every movie that's ever existed. So, I mean, this is something that you should have been expecting eventually. But the fact that they're going to focus on his father, I think, is an angle that you can go to where people, you know, because there's always going to be those people that are upset that they're rebooting Friday the 13th, yada, yada, yada. But if they go at it from, you know, a different perspective, they shoot at it from a different angle, I think this could be really interesting, especially as a horror fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what else we got on the old news pipeline here?
DC's Legends of Tomorrow. So they casted Vixen from Arrow, but they have a different actress.
Yeah.
So apparently it's the older version of this character is going to be a reoccurring character in Legends of Tomorrow, but I guess the younger version can make cameos at some points. It was the article that I read was confusing, but apparently they have casted an older actor to play an older version of Vixen for Legends of Tomorrow. That's interesting.
So it's going to be interesting because right out of the dynamic, again, we're talking about DC's Legends right now, and we're, again, hitting back on DC Comics. And there's this week is really heavy on DC. So they have cast a brand new actress for DC's Legends of Tomorrow, and that alongside with John Wesley Shipp's introduction into as Jay Garrick from the end of Flash. So we're going to see. I think DC's Legends is going to be in season two. It's going to blow up. It's going to be great.
Legends, I mean, the longer the series went on for me, the more I think it found its wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And the fact that they get some more time to focus on the script writing for next season, like they're starting right now, and the season doesn't come out for a little while. Yeah. So I think they're going to be incorporating all kinds of characters, Justice Society, this, that, you just so many characters that you can bring
in. I forgot about Justice Society, the Hourman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, wow.
Oh, man.
Blowing it out of the park. And
DC's killing it, man.
I know they are. And one of my favorite movies from the 80s may be getting a sequel. When we may be seeing the return of Mr. One-Eyed Willie from the Goonies. So I was really excited about this. I mean, it's really great. It would be cool to see the Goonies and how they've grown up in today and just what are they up to and what – or will it be a new set of Goonies taking over the helm and leading into the adventures under the underworld of pirates? And so I'm a huge Goonies fan, and I hope they have Sloth in there somewhere because you got to have Sloth.
Oh, man. Dude, I love the Goonies. Goonies 2? Like, that's just... Oh, man, to see those kids grown up, and even if it's a reboot, that would be fine, but I want to see these kids grown up, and I want to see their kids going on adventure.
You've got Goonies, too, and then, you know, there's so many sequels that have been on the block. We got Ghostbusters 2 coming out next month, and then we've also got that has been approved for script is Beetlejuice 2.
Yes. That is so exciting.
I mean, so, you know, there's so many part twos coming out, but it's exciting time to be a movie fan, especially if you're a retro movie fan, like 80s movies retro with sequels from the 80s. I'm all about it. So, yeah.
Joe, we're talking about sequels here. Indiana Jones 5, Star Wars Episode 8. We think we found its composer. You want to know who it is, Joe?
Wait a minute. Now, who is the god of composing when it comes to Star Wars and Indiana Jones? Well, John Williams?
John Williams.
John Williams.
Is returning to compose some of the greatest movies of all time. Just bringing him back. Come on. How could you not like this news?
I know. And it's really cool to know that he's signed on and he's going to be there for Star Wars Episode 8. As it progresses in the storyline with Luke and Ren. So we're really excited to have him on board. And I know that he's going to capture that essence of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to capture the heart of the characters. And just like he's always been able to do for the past 60 years of his entire career, which has been phenomenal. But I'm really excited. And Indiana Jones, I mean, that's going to be interesting too with it's just, wow, that's crazy. There's just so much fun stuff coming out. And so we get to see Indy 5. Curious how that's going to go, but yeah. Anyway,
it could be interesting. I mean, if they bring Harrison Ford back and he's older, or even if they bring in, you know, there's rumors they could usher in a new Indiana Jones and have a flashback to maybe a Chris Pratt-esque kind of character. You know, I mean, there's so many possibilities of what they can do with that franchise. Yeah. It's exciting to have
I just see Indy in a wheelchair just being escorted to his old school.
Just pushing him, somebody pushing him.
Oh, man. Hey, back in my day, we got the Ark. Anyway, I'm Harrison Ford, I love you to death. You are one of my most favorite actors. Anyway, Transformers the movie. Now, I remember seeing this when it hit in the theaters back in the 80s. I think it was 1985, 86, it was 86. It's his 30-year anniversary this September, and getting released the 30th anniversary edition of Transformers the movie on Blu-ray is coming with all kinds of never-before-the-seen behind-the-scene type things. They're doing all kinds of like documentaries and stuff like that to throw in here with the movie as well, and it's going to be cleaned up to where it's going to be so beautiful and so glorious. The soundtrack alone for this movie was just like, oh my God, it's a rock masterpiece. But be sure to get your copy, and that does drop on September the 13th, 2016. So make sure you reserve over on Amazon.com.
You know, Joe, the first time I ever saw this movie was after I watched Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, because, you know, Optimus died in that movie, and somebody told me, hey, you should go watch the old Transformers movie because he dies in that too. It's amazing how much better this film is than the new Transformers movies.
Well, I mean,
it's incredible.
And it also combines that anime style of animation, which was we weren't used to in the traditional cartoon that aired on television on Saturday mornings. So this movie took those characters, those elements, and that animation, and then just blew it out of the water with anime. And I'm just like, wow.
Incredible.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful film. So where are we at?
So moving on here, we have Westworld's Lisa Joy will script Universal Pictures' Battlestar Galactica movie.
What? Battlestar Galactica is getting a film?
Battlestar
Galactica, Westworld, baby.
Is getting great, like, hardcore attention from critics right now, and they're saying how good the writing is in this series. So the fact that they're getting her for Battlestar Galactica and the fact that that's getting a movie, ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Wow, and that's really crazy. We got Lindsay Badger coming in here right now, getting ready to deliver us the amazing Nerd Nugget of the Week.
Lindsay.
But before that, I want to remind you that June 24th, coming up in just a week and so, we have Independence Day Resurgence going to be dropping in theaters. That's probably going to be one that we're going to see. I don't know if we're going to do an official review on it, but pretty much what we did with The Conjuring, we'll probably do the same thing with that movie. We'll go see it. We'll give our where we stand at with the film and how it stacks up to its previous successor. So, I think that's awesome. And Lindsay Badger is now sitting here chilling out. Lindsay, I have missed you. It's been like...
I've missed you guys, too. It's been a wild, crazy 2 weeks. But I'm back at home. So, things are getting settled down, back to normal.
So I got
to
ask you, how was Animal Style? Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
She had In-N-Out
burgers.
It was
heaven on a hamburger. I tell you what, first time ever in my life I got to experience In-N-Out. I had it animal style and I had it non-animal style. We got to go first time ever.
Now,
it was good
I think
stuff.
We just coined a brand new hashtag here on PopX, heaven on a hamburger, hashtag heaven on a hamburger, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're not familiar with Animal Style and if you're not familiar with In-N-Out Burger, then I'm so sorry that you have been stuck in a hole for your whole life, but it is one of the most amazing burger joints on the West Coast.
It is pretty good. It is
phenomenal. So, but to Lindsay Badger, all right, let's go ahead and cue that beautiful bean footage.
Oh my God, it's a nerd nugget.
All right, go for it, Lindsay Badger.
All right. Well, this week, since I was absent last week, we get a double nerd nugget. Two for...
Ooh.
So it's going to be really exciting.
Oh my God, it's a nerd
nugget. Okay, so the first one, we're going to dive into the world of Wolverine. Now, Hugh Jackman didn't know that Wolverines were actually real animals until he started shooting the first X-Men film.
That's so funny.
What?
Is that not hilarious?
That is pretty funny.
I was just kind of like, what? But, you know, not everybody's familiar with all the species of the planet, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. So we'll let the Jackman slide on that one.
We'll give him that one. He does a pretty awesome Wolverine, so I think we'll let him pass.
We'll let him pass.
All right. Nugget number two. Doing some throwback Batman.
Okay. I love it. Okay.
All right, this is my ultimate favorite of all time, Joker's Jack Nicholson, okay? Yes. He was chosen to portray the Joker in the 1989 Batman film whenever one of the producers drew the character's signature makeup over the newspaper photo of Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Look at that picture
there. That's perfect. Oh, my goodness.
Is that not insane? I think that's fantastic.
Wow.
That's a way to pick out your character. I love it.
What a way to get
it. I love it.
Talk about really throwing it out there and just like predicting the future of a franchise. Did he not do it?
And he is hands down my favorite version of the Joker. Nothing has topped him yet. I'm sorry.
Heath Ledger did a great runner-up.
He did.
but I have to say, and that's where we're going with today. But Lindsay Badger, so good to see you, and you know,
it's good to see you guys too.
While she's here hanging out with us, I just want to give her props. She is doing so much stuff behind the scenes. You guys don't even know about it, but we're going to tell you about it right now. She is throwing she's throwing down on the chat room. She's managing the Blabosphere, two chat rooms, double chat rooms. And she just she handles the chat. She posts out all kinds of cool stuff. She manages our social media. She's a freaking beast when it comes to like putting it out there. So we love you, Badge.
We love you guys too. This is an awesome show, and I love to support it. So you guys keep rocking it, and I'm going to hop out and keep this show going.
All right. Thank you, Badges.
Thank you, Lindsay.
All right. So that was the Nerd Nuggets of the week. And I have to say, the one on Wolverine kind of made me chuckle that Hugh Jackman didn't know that.
That's really hilarious.
Really?
He didn't know that he was playing an animal on screen. That's what Wolverine is. He's an animal. That's hilarious.
Hold that, Hugh Jackman.
Anyway, oh, Hugh.
All right. So, Austin, how are we going to do this? Who starts first? Are we going to do rock, paper, scissors live on camera?
Let's do rock, paper, scissors live on camera, Joe. Let's just one.
Okay.
One out of one. Here we go. Right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, scissors cuts paper.
So does that mean I go first?
So that means you start on the bottom of your list.
Oh, baby. Well, what we're doing this week, guys, we're doing the top 5 superhero movies of all time. I mean, this is it. This is the list to end all lists right here. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start with my 5. Joe's going to do his 5. 4-4-3-3-2-2, and then we will both talk about.
We're going to rotate back and forth, though, right? We're going to rotate back and forth.
Yes, we're going to rotate.
I'll do 5. You'll do 4. I'll do 4, and back and forth.
But Joe, my question is: will we have some similarities on this list?
You know what? I was kind of looking at it on there, so I think some of our listeners are going to be in for a treat. So
we got a lot of movies.
We got a lot of movies. It's great. It's good. Go for it, man.
All right, guys. Here we go. My number 5 favorite superhero movie of all time is X-Men Days of Future Past. Okay. Now, this is a recent movie. It is the newest of the X-Men other than Apocalypse. And I know some of you guys haven't seen Apocalypse yet, but this movie immediately, like the first time I saw it, became my favorite X-Men film. And that's kind of crazy because I loved X-Men 2. I love the scope of X2, and I love the classiness of X-Men First Class and the fun that film brought. But this combined the best elements of the two, in my opinion, and became an instant classic for myself. It steers away from its comic book counterpart, but the fact that it takes all of these elements from the previous X-Men movies. It discounts the crappy X-Men films, in my opinion, which is X-Men Origins Wolverine and Last Stand. And even the first two X-Men movies, it basically gets rid of all of the previous films, restarts, has all of these different elements that it has to succeed on, and it does it to a T. The acting is phenomenal. The performances are all incredible. The script writing is great. And Bryan Singer, I think, does the best directing that he's ever done in any movie. And the final scene could be my favorite, ending scene to a comic book movie ever. Also, we have to talk about Quicksilver since he's on the screen right now. The guy steals the movie. He's phenomenal. He brings that extra flavor, you know, what you want in an X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love the X-Men films, the majority of the X-Men films. This, to me, brought together everything that I loved about everyone prior to it, and it is my number 5 favorite movie.
Wow. I was just reading the comments as you were talking over there. Stargate Pioneer throwed out some really crazy bombs for us. He said that Days of Future Past is the 14th movie of all time money-wise, and the number one, it's the number one mutant franchise, and it's number 71 worldwide all time. So it's definitely on the top of the list when it comes to Days of Future Past and X-Men genre. And number 14 among comic book movies ever. And
Pretty good.
That's a really good pick, man. That's a good number 5 starting out with. I dig it. Now, with my number 5. All right. So I really had to do some soul searching. And I was like, okay, so you said movies, but you didn't say silver screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we want to say this top 5 genre. is actually, and there's my, you see my dog right there, just kind of chilling out, hanging out right there. Anyway, so you see this, when Austin says the top five comic book movies of all time, he didn't necessarily say silver screen. And so when I done some soul searching in what has affected me over the past, over my life and what got me involved, I started looking at my number five. And my number five is 1978's The Incredible Hulk. And so the reason why I say this, and because I was born in 79 and I grew up with this, and it's probably really low on the list if you were doing a list, and it's probably one of the most least considered movies, and it's probably one of the most cheesiest movies effect wise and visually. But when, for me personally, coming from someone that appreciates pop culture and appreciates retro and the nostalgia, you have to consider Lou Ferrigno and Bill Bixby's The Incredible Hulk. And it's just so, you know, though the film had never really aired on the silver screen, and it never, it was a made-for-TV kind of movie, this was my second time seeing a superhero in live action, with Superman being the first, but we'll get to that later. But it was also the first time the world of bodybuilding and comic books collided, as Mr. Muscle himself, the legend, Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Green Giant, the Green Goliath, the man. It was just awesome. And so I remember waking up on Saturday mornings and going to the television and turning on the television and watching the stories and the Incredible Hulk on television. That was my Saturday morning, eating my Fruit Loops and watching, you know, look at that. There it is, man. Isn't that
there
great?
There it is.
So if you're watching on the YouTube Live, you are getting the full Monty right now. You're getting all the images and all the crazy pictures that goes along with this. But there's so many reasons why I connected with the Hulk. And perhaps it was the fact that it was a small, nerdy guy who was a weak scientist, and he could morph into this unstoppable creature, a juggernaut of a man, if you will. And, you know, Austin, you kind of know a little bit about my story. I kind of grew up a sick kid, and I was picked on a lot, and I was bullied. And the Hulk kind of resonated with something deeper inside of me. And I think that's why I chose him as my number five. And at any rate, you know, green was mean, and sadly, you know, a really interesting factoid for you guys, Lou Ferrigno will be the only human man to ever portray physically without CGI the Incredible Hulk. So throw that one out there. It's all CGI now. So Lou Ferrigno's body, and I had the distinct honor last year at MegaCon to talk to him and shake his hand and tell him thank you for being a kind of a vessel and just kind of being that catalyst. And honestly, look, if you look at his bicep is bigger than my entire body. And he's at like 62 right now. So I think he's 62, 65, somewhere in that neck of the woods. But he's still doing bodybuilding. It's amazing what he's doing. But that is my number five, The Incredible Hulk, made-for-TV movie. Just because that's the one that resonated with me.
Joe, what a good pick, man. I love that pick.
Thanks,
you know,
Dan.
Why? Because we're not doing the top five, you know, popularity contest of comic book movies.
Yeah.
We're doing the top five movies that resonated with us. This is a personal list. So I love that pick.
Thanks, man.
Now let's move on to number four. My number four favorite comic book movie of all time is The Avengers, 2012's ensemble of some of the greatest superheroes of all time. You know what's crazy? I never would have imagined in a million years that this would be number four on my list the first time I saw this movie, because to this day, it's my favorite movie, my favorite theater experience of all time over anything else I've ever seen. I went with all of my friends. We sat there, packed theater, seeing these, you know, iconic scenes of these characters interacting with each other. Dude, when we were done, I'm not kidding, my friend ran out of the theater, ran on top of his car, and took his shirt off. This is how, I swear, I'm not joking. This is how excited we were the first time we saw this movie, dude. It was everything you could have wanted. And it's because you got to remember, this is the first time we saw iconic characters on the same screen after being developed in their own individual movies. So seeing all the guys together, man, we lost our minds. I'm surprised we did not get arrested after we watched that movie.
Oh, man.
Okay. But talking about the actual movie, like Scott Pilgrim and The Watchmen before it, this was one of the first times you saw an actual comic book come to life, man. Yeah. You were seeing the panels on the screen, right? And there's so many memorable scenes that I could pull out, dude. Just that shot right there, man.
That circling shot.
Seeing those heroes together.
Yeah.
Dude, it is so... And this is not just something that's iconic to comic book fans, right? This is something that's iconic to movie fans.
Yeah.
This movie, when it first came out and ran out its, you know, when its time was over in theaters, it was number three. This was before The Force Awakens. This was before Jurassic World. It was number three, and it's still number five. The number five movie box office-wise of all time.
Yeah.
So this movie, to me, at the time, was perfection. It had its flaws, you know. It had its fair share of parts where it, you know, slowed down. But you had to do what you had to do the first time these characters were on screen. I talk about Loki all day, so I'm not going to. But he was great. And there's just so many things about this movie, man. This was 2012, so I was, you know, just graduating high school, getting ready to go out into the real world, right? And this was the first time that comic book movies really hit me hard.
It hit you home, didn't it? Yeah.
Oh, man, it hit me home, dude. And the Avengers, I mean, rightfully so, deserves its spot in my top five.
Oh, dude, that's beautiful. And, you know, I kind of resonated and resounded with you, like when you were saying you and your friends were just running out of the parking lot, ripping your shirts off and just, you know, acting the fool and acting crazy. And, you know, that's pretty awesome. And Stargate Pioneer drops off a really cool nugget for us. It says The Avengers is the fifth all-time worldwide movie and number one comic book movie of all time, raking in $1.519 billion. Billion dollars with a B.
$1 billion.
But
you know what? Dude, well deserved, though. Well deserved.
Dude, that's a freaking awesome pick for your number four. I applaud you on that one. All right.
What is your number four, Joe?
All right, so here we go. You know, it's 19. It's 19. All right. You know, here we go. It's 1989, and I am just getting ready to go into high school. And a buddy of mine told me about this comic book written by this guy called Al Moore. And I'm like, okay. And it's got the picture of a smiley face on it. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
With a blood stain. And I'm like, wait a minute. What is this?
Mm.
And I'm talking about The Watchmen, number five.
Oh.
And so that will be my number four pick. And so in 1986, you know, Alan Moore, he wrote a 12-book series, and that pretty much changed the way that the modern-day comic book story would be told. Many years later, Zack Snyder would stand up to the role, and the movie would be released and conveyed in this amazing world that Moore wrote about. And so Batman vs. Superman director Mr. Zack Snyder did step up on board and direct this film. And it was released in 2009, and it opened up kind of an alternate 1985 universe where Nixon is president, America is on the verge of a nuclear crisis with Soviet Union, and a group of vigilante misfits, a.k.a. the Watchmen, are the superheroes, the protectors of the city. And so one of the amazing aspects is that Moore and Snyder's Watchmen it's timeless storytelling. You can literally read this book 20 years from now and understand everything that's going on because of its timeless factor. The same thing for the movie. Though some of the things in the movie were a little bit different, the ending was a little bit juiced up, and some of the storylines were a little bit changed around, the movie, and this is where Zack Snyder finally did get it right, is that he captured the essence of the book itself. He captured the vibe of the book. And for me, that would be definitely my number four. And it's so much that we were just talking about it in the news segment. If you look back and remember that Rebirth is part of The Watchmen now, as Batman holds up the comedian's pen, which is another reason why I chose it as my number four, because it's Watchmen looks like we're going to see more of Dr. Manhattan. We're going to see more of the comedian. Yeah. We're going to see more of all of this. And what does it have to do, and how does it tie in with DC Rebirth? We don't know. We're excited, and I'm probably going to go watch the movie late tonight, The Watchmen, just for the heck of it, just so I can see, you know, and just get refreshed on everything. But that's my number four is The Watchmen.
Yeah, dude, I was late on the Watchmen train, man. I didn't get to watch it the year it came out.
I read the book before the movie came out, though.
Really? Yeah. Oh man, see, I was so late to the Watchmen train, and I had heard, you know, some people liked it, some people loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it, dude. It's probably in my top 10. You know, it's a comic book like the Avengers.
Yeah.
It's a comic book come to life.
Yeah.
And it's well deserved number four, man. I like that a lot.
It's visually
Let's
stunning.
Let's do number
too.
Three.
Yeah.
It is, dude. And Zack Snyder, ooh, you know what? Zack Snyder is in charge of the DC Universe.
I know he is.
Zack Snyder did Watchmen.
And Batman vs. Superman.
Ooh.
I don't know.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, I would two to one pick Watchmen over Batman versus Superman any day.
Yes. Oh, so, absolutely.
Just saying.
Absolutely. But there's always the opportunity for a crossover. Just saying, DC.
Just saying.
Let's get into number three. And number three, we're staying on that Marvel train, dude. Let's ride that Marvel train all the way to the end, shall we? I love how every movie in the Marvel universe doesn't just fit into the superhero genre. It has its own subgenre, right? Every single film is different. And the fact that Marvel could do a spy thriller, an espionage movie, and fit that into their slate of movies is very impressive. And Captain America, The Winter Soldier, is one of the best. You know what? I'm going to say it's the best spy thriller, personally, that I've ever seen, okay? The Russo brothers came from the world of comedic TV shows and somehow managed after one film to be two of my favorite directors in Hollywood. That's pretty impressive after one movie.
Yeah.
The way this was shot, the editing, the camera angles, the score, everything combined to do something that I've never seen, you know, not just as a Marvel movie. I've never seen this done in film. They took a superhero and made a spy thriller. A spy thriller and a great one at that. And the best thing that I can say about this movie is it managed to make Captain America my favorite on-screen superhero ever.
Yeah.
Okay. And I wasn't even a big fan of Captain America in the comic books. And I liked the first Avenger. Okay. I liked him in Avengers, but after the Winter Soldier, and especially after the one that came after that, I can look back now and I can say, you know what? Captain America is my favorite on-screen hero. And I think the Captain America series as a whole is one of the best trilogies of all time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Marvel was so happy with this movie that they gave the Russos basically the keys to the Marvel universe. And they said, here you go, do Civil War, do Infinity War, you know, head over the other movies that are coming out. I mean, they gave them the keys to the entire cinematic universe. Okay. And I want nothing more than to see them continue to tackle these movies, man, because the Winter Soldier, it's phenomenal, you know, and for a long time I considered it was in the running for my favorite superhero movie of all time, you know, and the Winter Soldier as a character was great. Captain America was great. The supporting actors, everything about this movie, man. And the first time I watched it, I was like, this is really good. But the more I watch it, the more I think this is a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite individual Marvel movie, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's a great one, and you know, you made a really great connection there in saying that the Captain America Winter Soldier is an amazing espionage spy movie where there's the aspect of you know, Hydra infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D., and you have that whole dynamic going on, and you don't really know what's going on up until the last 15 minutes of the movie. And so that alone, and you know, you were talking about the Russo brothers. They literally took this movie and Winter Soldier, introduced all these characters and all this dynamics and all this stuff, and it just blown the Marvel Cinematic Universe out of the water and hit a home run with it. And you know, that leads up to my number three. So we're talking about the Russo brothers, and I'm talking about Captain America: Civil War is where I'm going with this. So this is my number three film, my number three favorite comic book film of all time. And what's with the love about this epic movie of superheroes? I mean, you've got the Avengers, you've got Team Cap, Team Iron Man, you've got all these, I mean, 12 heroes in one movie. And it was seriously, and they did it flawlessly. effortlessly. Mm. They introduced two new characters, which is Spider-Man and the Black Panther, and they did that flawlessly and effortlessly. They combined Ant-Man into the franchise as well, and then incorporated the Vision, and had some stuff with going on with War Machine, and it was just really well done. And when I was thinking about my number three, you know, the introduction of Black Panther and Spider-Man, that was just amazing for me, man. And having finally, there's so many jokes and memes out there on the internet about, you know, DC has rights to all their characters, but Marvel has to pay homage to Sony and Fox. I get that. I know that. But you know what? Finally, we have Spider-Man Peter Parker alongside the Avengers in the cinematic universe. So, I mean, the introduction alone of just all these characters and Marvel with 12 heroes in one movie, they nailed it with a home run. For me, the favorite moments were a lot of the backstories of sorts with the Panther and the reintroduction of Peter Parker. You know, I missed our jolly Green Giant, the Hulk, which everybody should know I'm a Hulk fan. But if you're a fan of Thor Ragnarok and you're a fan of Thor and you know you've kind of been reading out on the interwebs, you know that the Hulk is coming back as a sidekick or as a companion character or whatever in Thor Ragnarok coming out in next year. So definitely stay tuned for that. So we'll see more of the Jolly Green Giant. Or should we say, not Jolly Green Giant. That's like, anyway. But I digress. Joeism. But yeah, that's definitely my number three is Captain America Civil War.
You know, Joe, that's an okay number three. I get it, whatever. But let's shift gears here a little bit. My number two is Captain America Civil War. Let's go a different direction.
Okay. Oh man, are you serious?
What a good segue to lead into my.
Let's just go in a total different direction and talk about a totally different movie.
That's what we're doing. Civil War, man.
You got the magic microphone. Go for it, Burke.
Oh my goodness! You know, I was talking a while ago, and you hit this on the head too. I was talking a while ago about the subgenre and how Winter Soldier was a spy thriller, right? This movie, if you think about it, it was kind of a psychological thriller, right? With all the backstories going on and what was happening with Bucky and the eeriness of the entire film, the Russos managed to up the stakes. In this movie, everything was bigger, it was brighter, it was flashier, but they kept the same tone as the Winter Soldier, and they kept all of their characters in check. And the fact that they can do that with such a huge scale movie is incredible, right? Throw in all of the new characters that you have to juggle and a huge task to accomplish, like you said, bringing in Spider-Man and Black Panther. The fact that they pulled that off, not only pulled it off, but they outdone themselves. They have outdone themselves, man. What a phenomenal feat that these guys have accomplished this year. This movie came out this year, and it is number two on my list. Number three on your list. Wow. It is already that high. That's how good this film is.
Yeah.
The character dynamics, the script writing, the film quality, they all shine in this superhero epic, man. And some of the best action scenes, like the Winter Soldier, but once again, upping the ante, some of the best action scenes ever put to film. And say the words, the airport scene. Talking about Civil War.
20 and minutes of cinematic bliss right there.
Dude, if there is a comic book nerd near you and you say airport scene, they're going to run to you and start flailing their arms because it's one of the best scenes, not just fight scenes in a superhero movie, one of the best fight scenes in any movie ever. These guys are incredible. Captain America Civil War, rightfully number two on my list, number three on your list. What a start to Phase 3, man.
I know,
what
man.
A start.
I'm excited for Phase 3. I'm excited for Infinity War, Thor Ragnarok, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Spider-Man Homecoming. Dude, you might as well just batten down the hatches, put your seatbelt on, and turn the knob off. It's going to be a crazy ride the next 3 years. So, but amazing. Yeah, I agree with you. Civil War, everything you said, and when Ant-Man turned into Giant Man, I dang near tinkled myself right in the theater. I was like, "Whoa!"
Oh, I did, dude. They had to come in. They had to come in after the movie and clean up my seat because I actually tinkled myself in that chair.
Stop
I peed
it.
All over the
oh,
place,
stop.
Joe. Sorry.
Just like a water hose, just going every which way. Oh my god!
Everywhere, son.
Seriously, that's why you wear the pins. Okay. It all comes together now. Oh Lord, have mercy on this child over here.
And we move on.
Yes, so my number two. they're making, they're in the chat room, man. They're giving you all kinds of heck over there. My God, that's funny. Oh, shoot. Oh, anyway, moving on. My number two, and this is definitely one of the movies that when I was doing some soul searching into my retro self, I'm like, what movie resounds with me? What movie made me want to be a collector? What movie made me want to read a comic book? What movie did I watch multiple times over and over again? And that movie for me was 1989, Tim Burton's Batman. And one of my most favorite movies of all time, literally. And I'm talking about Batman 1. I'm not talking about the sequels. The sequels are kind of trashy. But I'm talking about the Batman 1989. You have Tim Burton, Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson who starred as the Joker. And what more is there to say? I mean, Lindsay Badger kind of gave us a little bit of a nerd nugget about that, which kind of tied into this week's episode. Lindsay, you're awesome for doing that. But I have so many fond memories of this movie. And my mother, I remember her, God love her. I love my mom to death. She's awesome. I remember her taking me to our little, now long demolished, removed theater in Whitesburg, Kentucky. Little two cinema theater. There's only two screens in the whole thing. And that was when tickets were $3.25 a piece. And nice. She went and let me go and see the movie for the first time in 1989 when it came out. And from the birth of the Joker to the deaths of the Waynes, we saw all of this for the first time in cinematic glory on the screen. And we saw the Dark Knight for truly what he was meant to be, the Dark Knight. And, you know, obviously I had seen the TV show with Adam West, Batman, prior to this, and it was cheesy and campy, of course, and of course Adam West and Burt Ward's Batman kind of set the tone for the entire evolution of comic book on television type, you know, all of that stuff. But when Tim Burton got on the scene, and what inspired this was Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. He released this comic book series that gave a darker, edgier vibe to the entire Batman as we know it. That they made him from cheesy campy to rugged, mean, vile, just this guy that you just really don't want to get on your bad side with. And but with this new 1989 film, the score was just amazing, and it whisked me straight into the dark world of Gotham City as we knew it. And I even went out and bought the old Nintendo NES game and played the heck out of it. And I actually have a really cool picture. I was going through some pictures of me today. Now, if you're ready for this, Austin, there's so much retro love in this one picture. I'm just going to drop it. All right, so here is me in my Batman.
Oh, my goodness.
This is me in my Batman onesie playing a Casio keyboard with a floor model tube-style television, a VCR on top of that, and an old vintage Coke bottle right there. So there is so much retro. There is so much retro in that movie, dude. I'm telling in that picture. Just look at that picture, dude. Look at that mullet. That mullet. Look at that mullet.
You are so happy in that picture.
That mullet, though. Let's zoom in on that mullet. Look at that mullet, dude.
Oh, man.
It's all about that mullet. That crazy, crazy mullet.
Okay. Oh. You were a cool kid. I'll admit it. I'll give it to you. You're pretty cool kid. I'll give it to you, Joe.
Redneck mullet for the win. Yeah. Anyway. 1989 Batman. That's my number two.
What a good number two, man. Michael Keaton, one of my favorite actors, you know, ever in the history of ever. He gave us Beetlejuice. He gave us Batman. And that movie, man, was he also gave us Birdman. Batman and Birdman.
Anyway.
But dude, that seriously. And the thing I like most about that movie is 1989 still holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Still holds up. You can watch it today. Everything holds up, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
Let's go to number one, Joe.
Oh my.
This is it.
We are entering the home stretch, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a big daddy. Let's do it.
All right. I've tried, man. I've tried for so long to find a comic book movie that can replace this film. Okay. Civil War and Winter Soldier, they both came close, respectively close, right? Winter Soldier first, then Civil War. But no other film that I've ever seen has affected me like this movie did when it first came out. I was 13 years old when I first saw this in a theater. I watched it for my birthday. All my friends came with me, and it was wonderful. What a good experience, right? Yeah. This was my childhood Star Wars. This was my childhood Jurassic Park. This is what Batman was for you. That was the experience that I got from The Dark Knight. What a cliche answer for number one. But to me, it's not only the greatest comic book movie ever made. I think it's the greatest movie ever made. This is my favorite film of all time over anything else, all right? Mm-hmm. And of course, I was at the ripe old age of 13, and it blew my mind, right? Seeing Two-Face, Joker, Batman all on screen in a modern-day setting, Morgan Freeman and Gary Oldman, two of my favorite actors at the time, in supporting roles. It holds up like its 1989 counterpart, Batman.
It does.
But it's so, the themes in this film are so deep, so intimate, and they're so like, at times this film is hard to watch because some of the stuff that the characters go through, man, this is a rough film, but it's a film that every single time that I watch it, it gets better and better. I've watched this movie probably 25 to 30 times, right? And every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, wait, I know what happens next. But just the fact that this movie can do all of that to me, so many emotions going around one movie, it is easily, and this is just my opinion, but it is easily the best depiction of the Joker I've ever seen. Like, I love Jack Nicholson, and mm-hmm. I love Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
To me, Heath Ledger did everything that you needed him to do in that movie and more. And it was actually his swan song. And to see, you know, that man leave this earth way too soon.
Yeah.
Way too soon. And the fact that we could have gotten him, and Nolan said this himself, we could have gotten him in a sequel, right? But that performance, man, stands the test of time and will forever be iconic in pop culture, man. I'm still mad to this day that it got snubbed from the Oscars and it didn't win that Best Picture Oscar. But listen, and it didn't even get nominated, but so many people said it should have. But mm-hmm. guys, I know this is such the standard, typical, oh, The Dark Knight is the greatest. Guys, it hit me perfect time, perfect place in my life. Every time I watch it, I see something new. And to me, it is my favorite film ever made.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more because when I watched The Dark Knight and you see the Joker for the first time on the screen, you're
it's
blown.
Terrifying.
It is terrifying. You don't know what he's going to do. And when he did the trick with the pencil on the desk, I was just like, what? So, and that's a phenomenal number one. And you know, I love what you said, though. It hit me at a perfect time, at a perfect place in my life. And I could not have said it better about my number one. And as we wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you guys so much for joining us and sticking out with us on our top five ever. This is the top five that affects us. Now, it may not be the top five in the Billboard money or the top five in the actual charts. This is the top five that resonates with the hosts of PopX. And when you want to get into our minds and what makes us tick and our favorites, this is it. My number one, all right, I'm 4 years old, and my mom and dad had, this is back when you didn't really have to pay for the movie channel. This was when you didn't have to pay for all of the pay-per-view channels. My mom and dad turned the TV on one night, and I didn't get to see this in cinematic because I wasn't born in 1978. I already just dropped the year for you. But for me, Superman, the movie, will always resound as my number one pick for so many reasons. And no, I guess I'm a huge Christopher Reeve fan, for one, and he portrayed Clark Kent, Superman, so perfectly on screen in this film. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that Superman 1 and Superman 2 were filmed back-to-back at the same time and released 2 years apart. So Superman 1 came out in 78, Superman 2 came out in 80, but they were filmed at the same exact time, and a lot of people don't know that. And, you know, although this arrangement had kind of beset a lot of production difficulties, and the sequel was not released until 1980, it was the first time me as Joe Burke ever saw anything portraying a superhero on the screen. And so this, for me, seeing a man who could defy gravity, a man who could see through people, see through walls, a man who stood up for truth, justice, and the American way, a man who fought for the little man. It was mind-blowing. And for me as a 4-, 5-, 6-year-old child, watching this movie as I gotten older and older and older, it resounded with me in so many ways. And, of course, we all know what happened to Superman. Christopher Reeve, years later, he became paralyzed with the horse accident on his farm. But what an amazing legacy that Reeve has left behind with this. He will forever, for me, as Joe Burke, be known as Superman. And sure, we have Henry Cavill now, and we have all the guys from Smallville that played, and so many actors before that, Dean Cain. But for me, it's Superman 1 and 2. It's just epically awesome. And I was so blessed this past Christmas. My wife actually knew how much this movie meant to me and bought me the entire Superman anthology box set on Blu-ray.
That's awesome.
I got to relive awesome. Those moments in stunning HD cinematic glory for the first time, and it was awesome. It was a tearful moment when he flies through the outer space and he's outside and you see Earth over there and he just smiles at you. It's just like, oh my God, what a legacy. So for me, that was it. I mean, I remember my dad buying me the movie, the VHS, which was so long. It was a long movie. It's like 2.5-3 hours long. It's crazy.
Worth every minute.
Oh my gosh, dude. It was so awesome.
Dude, man. I love that so much. I love that so much. Man.
I do too, man.
I mean, that movie, obviously, it had a huge effect on you from childhood. And that's
you
what
have
it's
no
all
idea.
About, dude.
That's really, honestly, between that, Lou Ferrigno, and Michael Keaton's Batman, that's what literally molded me into the nerd, geek, whatever, comic book enthusiast, whatever you want to call it, and molded me in who I am today. And I'm forever grateful by these actors and these storylines and these movies that are timeless, that are just amazing. And we hope that you guys this week have truly enjoyed what Austin and I have put together. This was all Austin's idea, by the way. And Austin, I had approached him, and I was like, what do you want to do for episode 19? He said, well, let's do our top 5 movies of all time, and let's just have fun with it. And Austin, kudos to you for that, man. You're awesome sauce.
Man, it's something that, you know, we should all be passionate about as comic book movie fans. I mean, these are the best of the best for us personally.
Yep.
And I thought this would be, you know, the perfect moment to share that with each
awesome.
Other. So I'm happy you enjoyed it.
Well, you know, guys, if you're going to go see a movie, or you're seeing a reading a comic book, or you're reading Rebirth this week, or you're just diving into something new and amazing, or you're creating an artwork, or you're doing something fantastic and spectacular, we have a hotline where you can reach us and you can talk to us, and we'll even share your voicemail live on PopX on the future episode. If you want to reach us, it's 850-417-7679. The number is at the top of your screen right now on YouTube Live. And for you guys that are into the PopX, that's 850-417-POPX. You can't miss it. Mm. So how can they get us
on
social media?
We got social media, all of them. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest, all at PopXCast. Guys, get on there. Tweet at us. Talk to us. We want to talk to you guys. Tell us your top 5 favorite comic book movies of all time, man. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say.
Absolutely. And be sure to email us, too. We have an email address, which is popxcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from all of our listeners, because each and every one of you are amazing in your own way. And be sure to leave us a 5-star rating over on iTunes and Google Play. We would truly appreciate it. And be sure to check out our brand new URL, popx.live. That's where we're going to be doing our live stream every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here. You're tuning in right now live on the YouTube live stream, so we thank you so much for doing that. And be sure to check out all things at popxcast.com.
And you guys can find me, I'm Austin Burke at The Burkinator, on Twitter and Instagram. Hey, I'd love to hear y'all's top 5 favorite comic book movies. So tweet at me, talk to me, go to my Instagram. I want to hear what you guys have to say. We would also like to encourage all of you guys to keep leaving those 5 stars, commenting, doing everything, talking to us. We love you guys. You are the absolute best. And we will see you guys later.
All right, and I am Joe Burke at Rotcav. That's ROTCAV, as in Victor, on the internet. if you want to reach me and tweet me, DM me, whatever. And, of course, I want to say hats off to our team PopX, who actually is in the background on the behind scenes making this show truly what it is. And that is Miss Lindsay Badger, who does our Nerd Nuggets, handing the chat, doing everything that she can. She is boom sauce in my neck of the woods. And also I want to thank Mr. Mike Ippolito, who is joining us right here in Orlando this week. All the way. Look at this. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Party it up. Yes, 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 yes. little bit of flash. Look at that. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Mike, I love you, dude. You are freaking awesome. Mike is the man handing down the slides this week. Guys, thank you so much. I want to say stay tuned for next week's episode 20, which is going to be a blockbuster of an episode. We are going to be giving you The Rise of Comics and Pop Culture, a History Lesson, Part 2. And we are going to be telling you about the Jewish influence on comic books. Yes, the Jewish immigrants and how Superman came to be, how Stanley Martin Lieber, a.k.a. Stan Lee, came to be at a place called Timely Comics. We are going to dive into this thing head on. It's going to be a lot of information. Me and Austin are going to unpack it. We're going to go through it, and you guys are going to get edumacated, okay? Edumacated. I said that word right there. But from all of us here at PopX, we want to say thank you so much for listening. We're going to leave you with a graphic on our live stream right now. Take care. God bless. We will see you next time on episode 20. From everyone at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating over on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blab, and YouTube at PopX Cast. Get your geek on.